The All Smiling Faces podcast is now sponsored by TyreSpot, the Northeast's leading tyre supplier with branches across the region. TyreSpot don't just do tyres, they cover everything from servicing to wheel alignment. They can handle every aspect of your car's maintenance. For more information, visit tyrespot.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. And it is the Always Smiling Faces podcast back for another Monday night show. There's been no club football, boys. International football is currently on. We're currently watching England.
We better get used to this.
Germany. I know. So it's basically what's going to be happening over the next couple of months, isn't it?
It's got ball.
But what I wanted to talk about is the current issue with Newcastle United injuries. So we're going to start on this one tonight. A lot of players have gone out on international duty, Mark. A lot of players have came back before playing a game for their respective countries. The list has grown. Isak has returned. Bruno has returned today. Chris Wood, I believe, is...
He picked up an injury playing.
Yeah, so yep. Chris Wood's picked one up. Anyone else at the moment, but those are the three main ones, I believe.
Definitely Isak and Bruno. Wood got injured, and obviously we're already without a few before the international break. So I think it's a good thing the ones that haven't played getting sent back, because is it almost just a little bit of a, well, it's they're probably not quite right to play this game in the midweek, but by the weekend they might be all right. I think that's the noises that's certainly happening with Bruno. Isak sounds like it's going to be a little bit longer, a couple of weeks. Yeah, so, but we've seen with, two or three players in the recent months, that 2 or 3 weeks has now turned into, almost a month, 2 months. So that's a worry, considering, obviously, Woods went and picked up an injury, which I believe is potentially broken ribs, or fractured ribs, certainly an injury to the ribs that he picked up, because he was rubbing his leg at the time.
Dr. Walker.
So it's a worry where we're now going into games with our only fit striker being Callum Wilson, and we know what his injury record's like.
Yeah, so Decker, is this typical Newcastle United look, where we feel as if we're turning around a corner in relation to the ownership of the club? And yes, it has obviously changed, but we're still having some of this bad luck sticking behind us.
I think it's I do want to reference one thing as well. I think it's something we're going to have to get used to, certainly as the years go by, of the quality of player that we sign are all going to be international players. We're not going to have many of them just sitting in cotton wool watching the telly on ITV and stuff, that are going to be playing. So that's something I think we're going to have to get used to, and unfortunately that's more game time, sadly means more injuries. I think the Bruno one, I think, annoys us more than the rest, I think, because... Well, I suppose I say that. He did play for us, actually, didn't he, in his last game, actually, to be fair. So
didn't look right, though.
It annoys us when a player has literally just come back and then he's away with his country. And then, obviously, whatever's happened, he's had to come back again. The Isak one hurts because, obviously, you're excited for him, aren't you? I mean, he's a record signing, and then... He goes away and he's going to be out for a few weeks, it looks like. Do you know what I mean? The Wood one, you're looking at your reserve of your reserve, and then he's cracking a rib. It's just like, for God's sake, you know what I mean? And as you say, if something happens to Wilson, we'll have Murphy up front of his hand. But you know what I mean? Back to the second half tactics. So it is a worry. It's a concern. It does feel like typical us, which you don't want to bang that drum too much. You know what I mean? It happens to everyone, but it does piss you off, though. Like, do you know what I mean? It's shit.
Do you think we're back at the point now, bestie, where apparently Callum Wilson could feature against Fulham, where we're solely relying on Wilson again after all the money that was spent, relying on Wilson?
And that's the thing, we're relying on Wilson. If we're lucky, we're relying on Wilson, because we don't know how. Apparently, he is fit to play at Fulham on Saturday, but he hasn't played for, what was his last game? Was it Man City?
Yes.
So that's
it must have been, yeah.
He didn't play against Wolves, did he? So that was
the
following
game. I don't think he did. So there we are. I mean, that's the third game of the season, second game. So it's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're relying on Callum Wilson, who hasn't played football for 6 weeks or so. And it is a concern because Wood was the backup. Isaac was kind of, is he going to play there? Chris Wood was like the dependable, obviously isn't a goal machine, as mean for us. But, you know, he was like, oh, well, we've got Wood on the bench now. He can change our play. But, yeah, it's a bit of a, it's bad fortune is all it is. It's unlucky, like, you know. It's not a stick with which I think anyone's trying to beat the club or how with, he said, waving a stick. It's just one of those things that happen sometimes, and I don't think that you can really say, even like you could point out like a lack of investment. We knew we need an extra striker, we got one. It just happens he's not there.
It's
just unlucky. It's
you
kind
could
of
buy fucking you buy another one and then buy another one.
You could buy.
It's just ridiculous. You know what I mean?
And it's like Decker says, it's kind of as if we kind of continue the way we want to go, we're going to be picking up more international footballers because they're just better quality.
100%.
You know, it's kind of the two go hand in hand, and you're going to get them traveling around the world and picking up. It was a problem. I put it in WhatsApp a few days ago with Nobby, Bobby Robson, trying to get Nobby to retire, and Nobby was still sneaking off to Peru, like for a couple of friendlies against Venezuela. So it's what happens when you get a good quality footballer. It's what happens. Like, so it's unlucky.
I think with this Isak, for me, obviously with him just being a new signing, you just want him to have that nice little bedding in time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously with that injury coming. I don't know how much it interrupts it kind of does interrupt the flow, of course, but it would be nice. That's the injury I think that annoys us a lot, that one. I don't know how long it's for, though. Has there been any confirmation on that at all?
I said a couple of weeks.
Luke said a couple of weeks. It's a bit like Albert Luque when he first signed in.
It's just the bedding in period, you just want to be nice and smooth for him.
Yeah.
And I just feel getting an injury there, they come back, what, you know, will he be okay? All the rest of it.
I think Bruno seems like, I mean, he just put a photo on, I think, Instagram earlier. He was training and stuff. So I don't think there's anything too concerning with him. The exact thing was weird because a few days ago they said he was training on his own because of a thing, like an issue.
What was the actual word? The word seemed weird.
He had a feeling. And then all of a sudden he's out for a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks now with the World Cup starting in mid-November. Anyway, a couple of weeks is like
2 or 3 games.
It's like a quarter of the time between now and the tournament. So you're looking at that thinking, God, we're going to be, I suppose at least with the World Cup being on, we haven't got so many games to play them, we'll just buy more players. Just buy them all. By every single footballer.
I think the thing with the injuries, why it's, you know, been a thing for us is when you look at our squad, it's affecting the players that we look to as the key players within our team. And because when you haven't got that quality to come in and replace them, that's where it really impacts you. Whereas if you, you know, one of the teams that are within that top 10 and firmly established there, if they lose a striker, they've got another one that's equally as good that can come and replace it. We just don't have that luxury of that squad depth at the minute. When we talk about it, when we look at our bench,
ironically, up front's probably the one area that
potentially.
I've got two good, really good operators. Do you reckon
if they fit?
Do you reckon the fact that all these players now can't play against Fulham, but will still want to go to the game, is the reason that all the away tickets have been sent back? Because they've got their friends and family saying, "Oh, well, let's go to Fulham." They're like, "Oh, sorry, fans, you can't go anymore."
So there's been a few issues with ticketing, and I'll bring us up towards the end of the show as well, because tickets have been cancelled as well, haven't they?
No, that's that was
110 tickets.
Rennie Wolfcastle.
110 tickets oversold. Yeah.
No, that was the fact that they were handed back was the reason that oversubscribed.
Sorry.
All right,
Mark. I think the frustrating thing with the injury, especially to Isak, is that we've been sat here and thinking, we can't wait for Bruno to get fit. We can't wait for Sane to get fit and see how well it's forming. We're close to that happening. Then he goes up and picks an injury on international duty. It's just typical Newcastle United. Look, once again, but it's one of those things we're going to have to get on with. It'll happen to other teams. It'll happen again to us in the future. It's just one of those things where key players are out. We're just got to knuckle down and get on with it. But
do you think with the Bruno one that in if they hadn't have been playing in France, it might have been a one where the club would have said, "Oh, he's picked up an injury, and he probably wouldn't have travelled." I'm just linking it back to what Eddie Howe said the other week about how the club was staying in close contact with Brazil around Bruno's fitness mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I'm wondering whether they've let him go over to France just to be assessed and let their medical team look at it and stuff like that. And then, because he's only been there a matter of days, and they've said, well, there's no point you hanging around. You might as well get yourself back over to your club. So
that then tells me that we weren't convinced he should be going then.
Yeah, I think if we had of say been going back to Brazil, we probably would have said, no, you're not fit to go away on international duty. Like, the fact that it's an hour and a half flight over to Paris, whatever.
Because how many times do you see in football where a player, for example, Bruno came off to you in that game, and then they could have quite easily said, he's not feeling it, he's got a bit of a hamstring or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Just to not allow him to travel. I see that happen so often. Yeah. And it did surprise me that he came off, clearly didn't look comfortable in that hour or whatever it was that he played. And then he travelled to go, and I was like,
isn't that down to the player, though, at the end of the day?
I think
Newcastle step in and go, Bruno, we don't feel as if you should go.
I still think that would happen,
push
though.
Him in a bad direction, thinking that.
We've seen it with players in the past, though, haven't we? We've seen it with players in the past.
Mike Bowen was a big one, wasn't it?
Where international managers have fallen out with the clubs because mm-hmm. they won't release them for international duty. We've had it with, you know, obviously not
Ferguson
in...
Ferguson was renowned for the high,
Sven, not that's going to go on the England podcast, but Sven had a big issue with clubs doing that. Like every club was holding on to the players and stuff like that. And I see it happen so often that, you know, the player will just pull out last minute because they've got an injury.
Yeah.
But I felt as if Bruno, you clearly could see there was something wrong with him.
Bruno's been kind of letting on that he's better than he is because he's playing for a World Cup spot. Because he's not a starter for Brazil, is he?
No.
He'll be in the squad, no doubt.
Yeah.
But, you know, though he looked at that Brazil team, he's not yet kind of...
established.
He's not established himself. That's a word, Chris, yes.
He may just fancy the weekend at Disneyland Paris.
Well, you look at that video of St. Maximin hopping around in the Monaco. Doing it, he says, I'll have a bit of that, like. Can't do anything, can't do the shops.
That's it. Went against these, mate.
Yeah. Aye, was he in Disneyland, like?
He was in Disneyland Paris with Paquetá and...
Oh, that was ages ago, that, man.
Shelby.
Yeah, they just had photos on it. Just this in the last couple of days.
Shelby did it last season.
So the what do you call it? They went to where were they? Were they in?
Because he took his mum and dad as well. I think
Scott's mentioned in the group saying that he was already got a Disneyland. I was like, we're fucking queuing for a ride and running around for 90 minutes.
Because the Brazil squad went was it Hong Kong or something where they all went to Disneyland?
Oh, there was one. Yeah, there was
a full Brazil squad, wasn't it?
The last summer, time? I think that was. Yeah,
it must be a Brazilian thing. They must just fucking love Disney.
You've got to kill a little bit of time when you're on international duty, you know. Once you've trained in the morning, you've got
that
all that afternoon
Maxi,
free.
Be gone for
get back home now,
Maxi. On fucking Space Mountain, you'd be gone wild.
Imagine that. I couldn't care less about the international duty.
Calm with Mickey Mouse operator and all sorts of.
If they're going over there when we're winning the Champions League in, you know, 7 years' time when we're playing Paris Saint-Germain, and they're pissing off the Disneyland Paris in the afternoon, I'll have something to say about it.
Absolute best thing he's on. It's a small world. How dare he? But yeah, I think. If we focus on some of the players that are actually playing and haven't been sent home, so you've got Nick Pope and Trippier that have been taken away with the England squad as well. It was the first Newcastle goalkeeper since, was it 1901?
Something like that, a long time ago. I mean, Martin probably barely.
So I think it was 1901, the last Newcastle United goalkeeper to get an England cap. And it sounds weird. Me and Deco were sat here, and it just sounds weird hearing Newcastle's name get mentioned in the England game.
Yeah, it hasn't. I mean, we haven't really, but since Shearer and Owen probably had a player that was a regular in the team. Trippier's kind of, you've got Kyle Walker, Reece James, Alexander Arnold. Trippier's fourth choice right back now, probably.
Hmm. Well, that's why he's been playing left back a lot of the time for the match. Because
you've got Luke Shaw, Mike Sharpet.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't really our player either at that point. Like,
Chilwell was in.
Whereas, like, tonight, obviously, Pope.
Yeah.
Like he's actually mentioning Newcastle a lot there.
And he's our...
What they didn't mention, actually, was about his distribution, because he had a bit of a fluff, which we just discussed before. Like, those that watching the game probably would have seen it, where Germany could have scored from it because his touch was absolutely horrendous. But they were saying that he's been asked to play out more from the back from Newcastle and things like that, which was... And as Chris says, it was just, you know...
He has more than a bit Burnley, because of how Burnley...
Oh, of course, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Like he said so himself in quite an early interview. I thought I'd see if he made that weird thing that happened with Harry Maguire. The back post,
the one,
the header, and he really quickly kind of clawed it away. But that was quite a good save.
It was.
Maguire, like, I don't hate Harry Maguire. I think a lot of the abuse he gets is a little bit unfair, I think. But that was just bizarre. No one on him, he just can't. I'm going to hump this.
He kicked it to the play, didn't he?
Out of the corner. He's a funny one. Like, he's not an 80 million pound defender.
Do you think he could have done better for the goal though? But
no.
No?
I thought, when I first saw it, I thought that's... But then when you see how well struck it is, and it's not right in the post, but it's in the corner and it's well hit. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think anyone's saving that.
Just in case anybody's getting confused, we're not talking about the England-Germany game at the minute. We're referring back to the last game.
It was a bit of both. It was a bit of both.
It was a terrible game, man.
It was.
I only watched the second half. I was cooking for it, but the second half was shocking.
So what do you think about the rumours of Eddie Howe being second favourite to take over?
Who's favourite, by the way?
I would imagine it would be...
I was going to say Potter, but he's not going to leave Chelsea for like a week.
I know, but the bookies do whatever they want.
Actually, I don't know. Potter was the favourite.
Who?
Thomas Tuchel.
Tuchel. Oh, was he? Yeah.
Was he not favourite?
What about Pochettino? Was he not in the frame?
It's always the same names anyway, isn't it?
Sam Allardyce
in there, yeah.
Mark Hughes.
But it was, yeah, apparently Eddie Howe is a second favourite. Degger, do you think it's a possibility that you would walk away from a Newcastle project to becoming a manager? Because the job doesn't come around very often.
Well, I think part of us is absolutely no chance. Like, you know, first of all. But I think if you think of it objectively, I think it's it's the biggest job and there is to be manager of the country. And I think that he suits that bill absolutely perfectly, by the way. Like, perfectly.
I think he's, I think he's quite similar to Southgate in a lot of his methodologies and that. Honestly, not necessarily how he plays, how he kind of manages a team.
Yeah, conducts himself, all about culture, all about... Honestly, he is their ticket, like. But I think he is absolutely invested in wanting to do what he's doing here. But I'll tell you, when someone comes knocking, though, It's you know, it's not always as easy as to say, oh no, he won't.
I think he could, like.
But
I honestly don't think he would. I just don't see him as an international manager because of how much he wants to have that group of players together and instill his way of playing and that project. As you say, I mean, Keegan himself said it. He hated being the England manager because he just couldn't have the players together and work with them for a long time and stuff like that. When you see Eddie Howe in training and stuff like that, he wants to be drilling people on a daily basis, getting them to play the way that the way that he wants to play and stuff. So, albeit, I think he would.
Do you think that he would be a great choice though, in terms of when we hear him speak,
how we want him to play the football and getting them to buy into what he does? Then absolutely, he'd play far more attractive football than what we're seeing from Gareth Southgate's England at the minute. But are you going to be able to get that in, you know, a week, 2 weeks of having those players in a training camp? Yeah.
I just think it doesn't give him that. There's of course it's a day to day, but there's not really a day to day as the manager. There's not.
Yeah,
you go. I think Howe wants that up at 6 a.m, get the training and see the lads. That's just what he is.
Exactly. That's why you get so many good club managers who don't make it as international managers. You have a go. It doesn't work because it's such a different way of kind of managing a team. Yeah. I think, honestly, if it came from, I think you might go for it. Like,
do you think it's a bit too early in his career to be thinking about that?
Do you mean the age that he is, or the FA thinking of that?
I think from his side of things.
I think he's a sensible bloke. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't just kind of jump at it and say, right, if you come for us, I'm definitely doing it. But I think there's a good chance if they did come for him, I think he would at least consider it.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be daft not to. I think when you just weigh up the...
You might realise I'll get more time with all the family, so fuck it, I'll just stay in Newcastle. More days off.
But he's made that big move of moving his family up and getting the kids into school up here and all of that kind of thing. So he's fully invested in...
Steve Bruce's favourite, actually.
In being the Newcastle manager and he's been here for the long term, so...
I mean, I hope he is. I hope he is here for the long term. You know, I'm not kind of wishing him away out like that. But I do think, funnily enough, if he did go... I think we'd have more of a pick of managers than we had this time last year.
Because
we're not in imminent relegation threat. We were down last winter, you know. So I think if you were to go, I'm not saying it wouldn't be the end of the world. Christ, I'm getting ahead of myself, miles, yeah. But I think that we would be more attractive to a certain standard of manager if we lost out now, or if we lost them pre-post-World Cup.
I think
I hope we don't.
Brendan Rodgers would be the one because I think he'll get the bullet from Leicester, and I feel like the might be in for him. That's
maybe it wouldn't that wouldn't be the end of the
not us, I mean not us in frame. I mean England, maybe
England. Do you England go for Rodgers?
I could see it like I. Even though I he hasn't done well at Leicester, I'm not saying that. I just feel he'd be on the shortlist.
He has for the most part, and then they ran out of money.
Yeah, they
so he's had to kind of like Fofana.
He needs to recycle that squad, and he kind of did.
Yeah,
it's tough, you know.
It is.
We've seen that. If you can't recycle, well, right?
The thing is, a lot of things will change from now up until the end of the World Cup. We don't know how England will perform there.
We need to pick up some wins as well. So,
So Southgate's job is it at risk? Probably. I think your job's always at risk as the England manager. I think you're only a couple of games away from getting the bullet. Of course
you are. Yeah, I think behind the scenes, the FA has probably been quite, you know, nice and saying the right things, but I think behind closed doors will be based on this what's coming in this World Cup.
I think whatever happens at the World Cup, Southgate could go, you know.
I think so.
I think he'll be in there getting on 6.5 years. Yeah. Two World Cup, he's a cycle and a half, I think if we won the World Cup, I think he'd go right. I think if they win the World Cup, that might be the only circumstance in which he says that he stays, because if you win the World Cup, he thinks, right, I want to stay and win the Euros. If they go out in the quarters, the semi, I think Southgate then goes, like, I've had a couple of goals. The teams are getting younger. You know, Kane's only got another cycling and maybe 1.5.
So, I think if he won it, he'd be gone. He'd be like, best in the world. Thanks for my time. I'm getting you the final year. I've won this.
I think you'll stay for the Euros, and then that would be that.
I do think he'd be gone regardless after that.
I think,
personally,
likelihood is he'd be gone, whether they win it, well, finish third to 32nd.
So, Graham Dougal says, are there enough Eddie Howe characters in the England squad? I'm not sure. Obviously, Eddie Howe came out and spoke about how it's all about building a team of characters, and he wants a good feeling around the club. I think there's a difference between the club form and the international aspect of that, because the international players aren't around each other as much as what you are during club football. So I think it's a completely different point of view you would have to go in, taking over an international team or a club team.
100% agree. Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, I think what always must be exciting for any manager that decides to take the job is to be allowed to have the pick of so many players. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're trying.
Are you allowed to pick any English player that you want to as the England manager?
Well, but you know, I think any manager must like the thought of that. Of course, as Mark's gesturing there, is like a lot of times it's the same faces, you know, no matter form or not, which I'm not a fan of. It is. It annoys the hell out of me. Yeah. It annoys the hell out of me. Because I think I went back years ago, man, saying, you know, I think he played for Borough. Was it fucking Michael Ricketts? I was like, take him. He was good with 40 goals or something. I was like, just take him, put him off the bench if you need a goal. Because the bottom line, he's hitting the ground running, he's on form. But no. We'll take someone who hasn't scored for 40 games or something, and, you know, the guy on my shirt. For example, it was a long time. I give it
2 years.
Yeah.
Different.
His club form was still. He won the league. Won the league with Blackburn in that time of England.
But it was terrible. It was terrible. I just think that back to the question. Sorry, was it is slightly different because the guys aren't together as much.
Yeah, not living on top of each other.
Yes, you're playing 38 games a season. That's every single day in training. Of course, you need to have the right characters, and that doesn't mean England don't either. You wouldn't want to have an arsehole around the place when they are with you for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I just feel it's more important on the day-to-day of a club.
I think Southgate even has talked about that's something that they've worked on, because he even referenced back in his day when he was playing, and a lot of the time, particularly around that, the 2000s, where we had the players from Man United, Liverpool, all of those top six teams just hated each other. They just didn't get on.
Yeah.
Whereas you see, because a lot of this current England team have all played together from a very early age, coming up through the youth teams.
Under Southgate a lot of the time as well.
Yeah, Southgate deserves a lot of credit for that.
There's a more of a getting on feeling, that character bit in there. Yeah. And when I look at that team, I can look at players and think, I think he'd get in, do all right under Howe, compared to some other ones that you would pick out of there, because they'd listen, they'd want to do it and stuff like that. But I just kind of see it happening.
I'm going to go through some of the questions, and just while we're on the topic of England managers, Blue Rhythm Boy says, I'll put it on screen, do you think the England manager should be English, if possible?
Oh, I don't know. I've thought about this when we had Ericsson and
Capello.
Yeah. It's a weird one. I, strictly speaking, I think it shouldn't be your national team should be just people from the country. So England manager should be English, Italy's manager should really be, technically speaking. It doesn't bother us. I thought Eriksen was a great manager. I thought Capello was. I thought he was let down a little bit by the players in the team. 2010, I thought the big thing was Steven Gerrard playing out left and he just would not stick out left. He was kept coming inside and that and it just totally upset the team. So I've got no problem with foreign managers, the rules being as they are. If the best manager available is foreign, if it's Thomas Tuchel, if it's whomever, like, great, go for it, get him in.
But look at the Lionesses. Look at the success Sabrina, they've had by changing the manager. They've gone from almost runs to winners.
I'm not a rugby fan at all. Yeah. And I'm probably going to say something that's maybe completely wrong here. But did we not, rugby team, hire a coach from a different country? And all
of a sudden became very successful. Australian. Yes. Brian. No, I forget his name. But he's Australian.
Would that work? We got him in and he had obviously new ideas.
It's the best man or woman in the case of the Lionesses for the job.
It's the same in any sport, the cricket quite often. It's an Australian or something. Yeah. It's not uncommon. So it's not. If Southgate went before the World Cup and said, right, we're going to get Thomas Tuchel, we're going to get Mourinho in.
Best of trouble, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It is. I don't know. It's not going to sound awful or anything, but I'd prefer it to be an Englishman. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I would prefer that. But I mean,
in an ideal world, I like what
that is. Maybe I'm a bit romantic there. I don't know. But I just feel an Englishman leading the country as manager is nice. I like that.
For me, it's kind of the rules thing is that, like, if it's an England national team, if it's a Great Britain at the Olympics, it kind of strikes us that if you're all athletes have got to be either born there or nationalised.
Then your coaching staff should be, your manager should be.
Probably should be, because you're showcasing the best of what the country's got to offer. And if it's not good enough, then you improve. You know, what Great Britain did after 2008, Beijing, or earlier.
Yeah. It's a good point. You know, I've never actually even thought of it that way. Yeah. Honestly, I've never sat and thought, if it's your country you represent, you should all be
theoretically. But again, as I say, for risk of sounding like, you know, I'm one of them, it doesn't bother us. Like, if the things being as they are, if I keep on saying Thomas Tuchel, or if Jurgen Klopp gets binned off Liverpool, and I'm free this winter. Have a go.
Yeah,
you know, it's just you just wonder that, like, if it was an England Germany final, would he be disappointed if?
Oh, you know, like the press, that's the thing.
Oh, well, he's not that England's lost because Germany won and he's German. It's like that. Aye. You'll have that kind of thing thrown at you, wouldn't you? But it's, I get what you're saying. It's that national pride kind of thing, isn't it? I'm an Englishman leading me country.
I had this spell where, like, England had Roy Hodgson in manager. He did the 2014 World Cup and the Euros in 2016. But desperate in both of them. I mean, that wasn't the. Did he do 2012 as well? The Euros, like he did.
Did Hodgson also?
And that was after he could be the Swiss manager for a long time as well.
He was Swiss in 1994 in the World Cup. Yeah, he wasn't a bad manager. It was that point of his career where he was on the decline. Liverpool had been more. Did he go either way? Actually, they're okay at Palace in the end. But like, you look at that. Is that the best England manager that we could have? Is he the?
But at the time, his stock was high on the international.
I do agree with that, but I would also say Southgate's in the same boat. Whereas, like, I think we've had this discussion before, where would Southgate get a Premier League job?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know
if he would.
He fell into that role. 100%. He's done well at,
after the Euros. He would have done
in it, hasn't he?
I wouldn't have wanted him in Newcastle because I thought it was awful at Borough. And I think he's someone who, as a manager, probably suits international management more than club management.
Yeah, I'd agree with
maybe,
that. Yeah.
Maybe not now. Like maybe the stuff he's picked up as an, because he works so well. Does such a good job with, like, the young lads coming through the age groups and stuff. I'll kind of, to play devil's advocate a little bit, like, the football isn't exciting to watch. And there was part of this when we were just talking there earlier, I was thinking, to be an international manager, because you don't have that degree of control over the players that a club manager has, like Howe has, or like, here he is, Rafa. Had in Newcastle, like, do you need Mavericks more? Do you need to kind of get players on, because of you cannot necessarily contain them so much into a system as much as you would do with a club? Do you need someone who's like a difference maker, like someone like Grealish, and just say, fill your boots?
Well, I think club football, international, every single team needs someone like that. And Chris mentioned it before we even started. He had said, like, Sir Maddison, for example, like, doesn't get anywhere near it, but you know, if you brought him on, he has that ability to be able to unlock a pass, you know, open a door. Like, I'm not saying he has to start the game or anything. I'm not saying that, but I'm more of a fan. Whereas I find when I see a lot of the squads he picks, they're all defensive-minded players.
Yeah.
He takes like 10 right-backs and 10 holding midfielders. And I, for me, it's just never... it's not as forward-thinking enough. Going back even to the final, but we took the lead so early and straight away it was, right, now let's just sit in and try and get through. And I'm like, God almighty, again. Like,
yeah, well, so you can see it coming.
The problem you've got is, especially I think now with football, is it'll, don't get us wrong, it'll work. It works sometimes, right? Yeah. It will. It definitely will. But you cannot be like that all the time, because eventually you'll just get found out. And I think this is what's coming now.
I'm all for controlling the game, having a lot of players in the centre of the park, because that's how... That's just how modern football is. That just happens to be. Right. That's for 10 years, maybe. That's been the kind of prevalent way of playing. Like, you know, I mean, Newcastle, we've played with. We always talk about, like, one in front of the defence, maybe Shelby or Bruno, then two in front of him, and you play three up top, but, you know, the one with the two, the wingers rather than three strikers. So it's just how football is. At the minute, control in the middle of the park is how you... Until someone revolutionises 4-4-2 again.
Yeah, but the midfielders, I don't believe that he's got midfielders that I think can really change a game. The more, like... I'll pass sideways and backwards.
He has. He just doesn't pick them up.
How much longer has Joe Linton got to live in England before? Has Joe Linton Rice? get Joe Linton in the mixer.
I was shocked he didn't even get in the provisional.
No. That's what I'm saying. You'd be fed up. But he's, you know, everyone loves him over here now, because he's just Joe Linton.
When you still see Fred getting picked.
That's the thing. He's had a great, honestly, the turnaround that kid. I know we've spoken about on numerous occasions, but it's a bit of a kick in the bollocks to him, like that. He hasn't even made it into the provisional.
You know what it is? If we weren't playing in the Nations League at the minute, and there was just meaningless friendlies, which, in all sense of the terms, these are, then you could maybe see him getting a cap. Obviously not for England, for Brazil.
Brazil don't have Nations League, though.
No, I know, but I'm like, obviously it's that. We're having these competitions happening at the minute, isn't it? So there,
I think for him as well, is his stock's maybe never going to be higher
than
the last year.
Well,
even if he continues to do the same that he is doing, which would be great. I don't know. I just don't feel it's ever going to be as good.
It seems mad that they don't even seem to have like had a look. He's not been in a squad.
No,
has
I don't
he?
Think. No,
that's what I mean.
They're going to be aware of him, though.
They will be.
The performances he's getting. The fact that Bruno's still getting picked regularly in the squad.
I believe
they've got to be keeping an eye on his performances at Newcastle.
Of course.
So therefore, they can't help but
maybe
notice.
They just don't know he's Brazilian. It's like,
Big
it's
Joe.
Like the Sean Ratcliffe thing.
Of course, he can't be Brazilian. Bloody Joe Linton.
Like, what do you call him when he went to Millwall? Shane Ferguson. He's a good player, isn't he?
Birmingham.
Was it Birmingham?
Birmingham,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Millwall afterwards. Yeah. But maybe it's like, that Joe Linton's good. It's shame he's English. I don't know why Southgate hasn't had a look.
Right. I'm going to go through some of the questions. If anybody else wants to throw some questions out, we'll go through as many as
possible. Before we start the questions, though, if you're watching, just press that little thumbs up. Give the video a like so far. Even if you've hated all the England chat, still just like the video.
I've got an Irish like Shane Saunders, I'll be furious.
I'm sure they'll understand.
We'll get on Ireland in a minute.
Yeah, so there were a couple of comments from the video that we did last Monday. People agreeing with what you were saying, Mark, saying, can't understand why there's so many people watching, but not very many people liking it.
I love how
I don't like it.
The thing that people agree with Mark is it's got nothing to do with football.
Right, so the first question is from our good friend Josh Stockton, who also sends in a donation.
Josh.
He says, hi lads, hope you're all well. What are your thoughts on international football as a whole? He says it's something that he's never been able to get invested in, even during tournaments. I'm going to miss club football so much during the World Cup. Bessie, I'm going to come to you because you're a big fan of international football.
I'm a big fan of tournament football rather than national. I like the Nations League thing because I think it isn't just friendlies. You've got the kind of carrot of qualification for the European Championships at the end of it. Or certainly that's how it worked last time. I'm assuming this one works the same. Yeah,
it is.
So, and that was the whole idea of it, was to get away from friendlies where you're making like 9 changes at halftime and all that. I do like international football. I just like football. Like when the Lionesses were on in the summer, I was on holiday. I watched it on my iPad in Corfu. I like watching football. I like the sport and all that. But yeah, when I was a kid, I was never that bothered about England. But until when I remember when I was 6, I'd go and play football with Taylor, who I used to do a podcast with. Remember him?
Yeah.
Don't you do now?
Remember him,
Graham Taylor, former England manager.
It was funny enough. And he had the England Euro 88 shirt with the kind of blue and red bands, and I was like, I couldn't get my head around. Why have you got an England shirt? You got a Newcastle shirt, and I would always wear me black and white. And then the World Cup 1990, I totally got it, like the Gascoigne, Lineker, the whole thing with Cameroon, Argentina in the first game, and that, and it was like that tone. And looking back, the quality of football in that tournament wasn't great, but it was drama.
Yeah,
like every game something, or every couple of games.
David Platt, Belgium.
Yeah,
Roger Miller.
So much Brazil getting beat off Argentina in the second round, and there's so many penalty shootouts, Ireland against Romania, and then getting beat off. And there's so, you watch a tournament in the football, you could watch every game and think it's a shite this, but I still watch, like the BBC did a review of it in like Christmas 1990. It's on YouTube, and I watch it every now and then. It's like, fuck, this tournament was unbelievable, and that totally. Maybe it's because of that experience watching England. I was totally in, like, I was hook, line, and sinker. My heart was broken in Rotterdam. I wasn't here. Watching the game in Rotterdam in 93, when Koeman pulled back, I think he fell flat on the edge of the box.
Yes.
Inside the box, didn't get sent off. We got a free kick.
Do it. I not like
and
that? Sco-
and then Rotterdam, Koeman scored a free kick at the end. They won 2-1. But fuck it. So, yeah, I love it.
Your passion here is coming through.
Even just seeing players that you don't see play together normally, What about like Bruno? Like, see Bruno play with like in the World Cup, he's going to play with Neymar, he's going to be playing with like, and who else?
Carlos,
Vinicius Junior. There's low, it's great. I even this World Cup, and it's a bit of a shitty one because it's in Qatar and it's winter and it's all about money. I'll still enjoy it.
Tournament internationals is very different to
the friendlies just, were shit, like.
I think we would probably be a lot more into it if it wasn't for the fact that watching England is very, very boring, and I'd rather go and paint my bathroom or something at the minute than
I think there's a few things for me. I'm a huge fan of international. I absolutely love international football, and I'll echo everything Bessie said about one tournament in particular, and then 96 for me were the two that just absolutely cemented.
But isn't it funny, we're all looking back in history. You're not looking, even though the last couple of tournaments have been really, really big highlights for England.
You look back, and I was talking to people on Twitter about this yesterday or the day before. The World Cups or the European Championships that you really, someone says, oh, the 2014 and 2010 and 2014 World Cups were the best ones ever. And it was like, this kid was clearly born in like 1988. So it would have been 12, not 22, 2008 maybe. So it would have been a young kid in 2010. Mm-hmm. A bit older in 2014. And that, I'm the same for me, 90, 94, 98, because I was becoming aware of international football in 90. 94, England didn't qualify, but it was in America. It was the whole thing. Real Madrid scored against Italy. It was just something completely different. It was my first World Cup knowing what the World Cup was, really. And then 98 was like the year I left school. England qualified again at WGCSEs that summer, and was in France. So the time
Beckham sent off. Owen was amazing.
Beckham sent off. Owen was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, when Romanians all dyed their hair. And it was so much like the World Cup became like, it's almost like it's like a different game almost. It's like a story. It's like a film that goes on for a month almost. And that's it. But people do. You see people think, like, we're going back to those World Cups or those European Championships. To me, it's because they are the ones when you're in your formative years of watching. Mm-hmm. I was 8 in 1990. I was 16 in 96. Yeah, 98. So, like, they are the ones that, like, informed my views on football for the up until now and beyond, like, you know.
But I think, obviously, going back to like, what Mark's saying about being born, like, it wasn't so long ago. Honestly, it wasn't. We won every friendly or every qualifying game going. We won 10 out of 10 or whatever it was, my record points. We're beating teams 6, 7, 8, 9, 0 here. And it doesn't really affect you.
No.
And it just doesn't. And that's when the football was amazing. We're scoring 10 goals a game, man. Kane scoring 10 goals and everyone's breaking records. But it still didn't get to us. Obviously, when the tournament starts, I'm still not one of these wankers that hoist beer around in that, because that's just ridiculous behaviour. That's just fucking being an arsehole. But I do get excited. But I have to be fair, right? As much as I love England and I love the tournaments, seeing Newcastle score a goal or winning, it does affect us more. And I guess that is because club football is day to day. Going back, even what we're talking about, how almost. And as much as I love England to win, for example, the Euros that were lost against Italy.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. I really was. If we had lost the Champions League final like that, I'd ever have come back.
Any final.
Any final. So, like, I'm trying to think of height there in terms of what it was.
The disappointment lasts the evening rather than
Christ. That Bournemouth game that lasted for days with me in Madrid. Whereas we got beat off Italy, I had COVID at the time, and I was like, the next day, I was like, yeah, it was shit, but we'll move on. Like, I don't know. Not everyone's like that, by the way. Some people would have been devastated because I know there's a lot of fans sack club football off altogether and they're just 2 hours with England. There's a few lads from Shields. That's their interest, and that's fantastic. Very expensive hobby.
I've got a mate that does it for Scotland. He literally goes to every single, regardless of where it is in the world.
Not tournaments.
He'll go and watch Scotland games.
I knew that was going.
It's,
it must be cheap, that.
but he supports Dunfermline, so.
A fair play, like
But yeah, that was nice.
It's one of those things where...
And Portsmouth, randomly.
You obviously hear about club football against international football. And I think majority of football fans would probably agree that it just hits a different level with club football. Of course it
definitely
does.
Definitely. But there again, I remember when England drew with Italy in 97 in Rome to qualify for the World Cup.
Oh, amazing.
I didn't know the result. I'd avoided the result. Tierra was out of mind, that lad.
Jesus, you might as well just bring him
on. Bring him on. We played the Mega Drive all day, the PlayStation, whatever it was at the time. And my mum and dad were out, and my dad got back. I'd avoided, that episode of the Lightning Lads, when they avoided the score. I did that all day. And my dad got back worse or where he says, "You're watching the game?" I says, "Oh, with BBC, what are the highlights was on?" He can say, "I seen Ian Wright's goal yet." I thought, "You fucking bastard." Finished 0-0. Even then, the swine was winding us up. But no, like stuff like that. I'm totally club before country. I'm Newcastle. Like, I'd go to Newcastle semi final before an England final, you know, that kind of thing. But still, I could tell you every World Cup game I've watched for England, I could tell you exactly where I was, what I was doing. So it's got that kind of big.
I do feel, and I don't know why this is really, but I feel like I've got a more attachment or more, not appreciation is the wrong word, but about the players back in the day. Like when I used to see England line up and they had Shearer up front, of course, that's an obvious tick, right? But Ian Wright, absolutely loved Ian Wright. Never really got a fair chance.
Not so much.
I loved Gazza, of course. I love seeing Tony Adams at the back there with David Seaman in goal. Like I love
Anderson. I love Nick Bombay.
I love Stuart Pearce. Whereas Luke Shaw's on now, I'm like, I couldn't give a shit. And Kane's up front, couldn't give a shit.
Yeah, I think
he's just as good as what Shearer. Like he's a fantastic.
Whoa!
He is.
Stop the recording now.
It's going to be very similar actually, because he's not going to win out in his career. So it's similar. Kane's amazing, but I don't like Sterling's a good player. But to me, he's not Steve McMahon. I'm like it's just, I don't know, it just is what it is for me. Like, it's a strange one.
I know what you mean. I think that's kind of, that goes beyond international football. I think that's just your relationship with football as,
maybe
on a societal level, when people go, even when I was a kid, when in the 90s, early noughties, when I worked in the pub and stuff, and people would, I talk about like Rio Ferdinand or John Terry or Beckham or Gerrard, whatever, in the England team at the time, and they'd go, but that pampered millionaires these days. When I was a kid, you could see him on the bus and all that. And that was the story I talk about Newcastle's team at the time, Nobby, Emery, whatever. But when I was a kid, you'd see them down the shops, they'd come around the house for dinner and that. And that's just that, it's an extension of that way.
Even the Sven team, that Sven had the best team, in my opinion. It was unbelievable. And I loved Gerrard, I loved Lampard, I loved all of them. I loved Becks, of course, I did. I want to shag him. I loved them all. Like, you know, I really did love them as well, though. I thought Gerrard was unbelievable. Whereas I don't, Declan Rice is on, I'm like, neighbor. Like, neighbor, fine. It just doesn't do it for us.
I like Declan Rice.
No, I'm not saying any of them are bad players. I'm just saying, like,
I like Sterling.
Do you think it's because it's all media savvy now, not all media trained, and there's not many characters in there compared to looking back in the day? Because it was quite raw, wasn't it, in front of camera and things like that?
It was. I actually thought the game was more raw than, if I'm being really honest.
And even then, compared to how it had been 20 years prior, it was like slick.
Yeah.
So sticking with international, because there's a lot of questions about international football.
I think we've led it that way.
We'll start with kits, okay? Because this is something which we love talking about on this channel.
Strap in, boys. Good chat about kits, haven't we? Oh.
So the question was, I can't find it at the minute, so I apologise to whoever I sent that in, but it was, what are your current thoughts on the new England kits?
I hear the periods, mate.
Home one's awful. The away one's decent.
I agree.
Yeah, the home one, like someone put it on Twitter, and obviously Bar's seen it. What on earth Nike was thinking there? Just the same template, one.
Use the away.
Just what you got to do. Just the like they did in the 90s. Yeah. The same template. Like, as to be fair, they normally do it all the time because they're lazy.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a problem.
They do a lot of time. Why they did?
They normally just swap the template, right? Which is fine.
Yeah.
And the one time they should have done it,
yeah,
because the home kit would have been gorgeous, man, if it was like that. Mm-hmm. It would have been. The home one's a disaster.
It would have been flying off the shelves.
Oh, 100%, yeah. DHgate would have never stopped. But it was.
It's because it's that retro look back, isn't it?
Of course it is. It's the 90s, isn't it? It's the 1990. Yeah. To me, it's the 90s. That red one is. Mind you, I still feel Navy Shorts needs to be involved. Maybe it's not. That's a penalty, by the way.
Yeah.
Goodness me, that's a penalty. The numbers are horrendous. Can I get that out there?
I don't know.
They've grown on me.
And why is only like the I? Yeah. Every letters in capitals except I. And that is ridiculous.
Like Apple.
Yeah.
I know Apple doesn't have an I, you know. I mean, Apple has in the brand.
No, I know. Yeah.
iPhone.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, they're
giving this. Oh, this is penalties, no doubt.
Didn't the
Maguire there diving in.
I thought it looked spoiler awful alert if you're not watching this. I thought the home kit looked absolutely dreadful when I first saw it. And we see a player, it's always different when you see a player's wearing it as opposed to. I still don't like it particularly, but nor do I hate it as much as I did.
Do you not think it's very random though? This thing, well, panel
the Nike template thing at the minute is to have what's it called? The sleeve, raglan sleeves, where the kind of it's one bit of. Like, and it kind of cuts across the top there, and it looks they've done it with it, all our club shirts, international shirts. It looks rubbish.
That red one is a nice top. I have to say the reason why I'd always go for the retro one is, again, I find with tops like these now, it's just cheap and easy. It's just so plain. Whereas the Umbro one had the actual,
logo,
the pattern all the way through it, and also around the sleeves here, I'd had it as well, right around the trim around there. Yeah, whereas, of course, that hasn't got now.
The thing is, they make the players' version. Like the what as the players wear, then they make the cheaper ones for them because they know that people are going to go, oh, I want the proper, so they'll shout an extra £50 for it.
Yeah,
and it's a scandal, really. Like, I mean,
what's your favorite England kit, bestie?
Of all time, my favorite England kit of all time. I wasn't expecting that.
Mine's the one Degas currently wearing.
Oh, 98.
I love that one. I really like that one. The one before as well, 96 was
96. I'm a fan.
I don't know if that's because it's a lush shirt or just because of the memories of the year 96. Well, and it was the big head footballers.
Yes, I agree there totally. Yes,
because I collected them. In fact, these are mine. Don't forget that.
They're all in a box down there.
And yeah, and that's like
the Lineker that you mentioned earlier on as well. The 88 shirt, which obviously going back
how
88 and 90.
So as we're recording right now, Umbro Styles. Nick Pope is currently facing a penalty, which
Peter Shilton.
That's a very good penalty. I've got the 96 one Gascoigne on the back. It's a lovely shirt, and it's one of my favourites ever. And it's very just plain, which is nice.
Yeah.
I love how it's got the Umbro and England badge directly, but it's just that, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very similar.
That's an excellent penalty.
Mine will always be 1990 because that was when I truly, really fell in love with.
Yeah.
I just fell in love with everything about that.
So somebody's asking if they can have, it's Liam Coates, he says, England and Battle of the Kits before the World Cup, lads.
Did we do a
Battle of the Kits for the international?
We had it in mind, but I don't think we did. We did the international, it was team
the tournament, versus
team,
the teams.
Where we went through them, looking at them all, but we didn't do an England versus England to find out what the best one is. I'll be bang up for that.
I'll be involved with that. Like, I love that.
We talk about doing more battles of the kids all the time, and we'll never get around to doing it.
I keep on the back burner for like 2 years.
Yeah, there's always it's always a is it Kai? Kai always is it Kai? Kai Bolton, isn't it?
Yeah.
He always basically every time we do a recording when he's doing the goalkeeper battle of the kids, we'll get around to it one day, mate. But. We'll definitely do the international one. We'll do the England one.
What's my favourite England kit? What are the way? 2002 was one stripe.
What's yours, Chris? You didn't answer.
I did. The one deck.
Oh, you did.
What's yours, Mark?
I also like the red
one. 96, I think.
The red silky one. I would describe it as...
Is that a 98
away? The Beckham one or the Owen one?
The Owen one.
The Beckham red one was very retro as well because it was based on the Argentina 66,
one.
Wasn't it?
The one that were in war in South Korea.
It was very, very plain red.
So what we'll do, okay, well, I'll agree with everybody watching and listening now. We will do two Battle of the Kits. Either
we'll have to do a home
prior,
and
away.
England one, wouldn't
we? Well, we might do three then. So either prior to the tournament, during the tournament, we'll do your England Battle of the Kits, and we will also do the tournament one again.
I'll tell you which one I love.
Because there's some nice shirts in the
Which one I love.
Germany's kits are beautiful.
It's very nice.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's a lot like the Vadaway kits like that with a big thick bar down the middle.
Again, it's retro styling though, isn't it?
I'll tell you which England shirt I love. And people don't often mention the last Umbro one, 1-1 2012. It was white. It had a red England badge. Totally red.
Yeah.
It was red inside the collar, red Umbro. It was just white with red detail. There was no
blue on it. Yes, yeah.
It was a really smart shirt, that.
I also loved, and it wasn't just because of the goal that company said, but the one Beckham scored against Greece, which was the white one that had the red line going down. Yeah. I really loved that one as well.
2004 was good with the big thick bar down the sleeves. Mm-hmm. Like a big stripe that went down. I think it was the first one to have the star for the World Cup win.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, my favourite one's 1990, obviously, but mine is. I just wanted to mention another one that was really good was it had the little multicoloured crosses, or the shoulders and the sleeves.
And on the.
It had like
neckline as well, didn't it?
Yeah, I think the top of the shoulders.
Yeah,
it was a bit like a granddad collar. That was a really nice shirt as well. That one
did. I loved it. Like, but did you like David Seaman's? You know, the classic.
Totally.
I've
got a pair of swimming shorts like that. Umbro brought them out a few years ago. So they
got. Oh, amazing! They are lush. Like,
yeah, wear that shorts and your shirt as well.
He looked huge in it as well, though, didn't he?
Because the shirts were big as
they
well.
They were big shirt. He was a massive, big guy. Like,
huge.
He had gloves the size of his table. Like,
he was great. Keep him.
Fish and Rodders team. Mentions the one from 2002 where it was reversible.
Yeah.
The
2004 home one as well. We turned it inside out. It was blue shoulder stripe. But yeah, the away one that Beckham scored, the penalty against Argentina, and it was blue on the inside.
That's right. Yeah.
A question here from Callum Lewis. He says, will you be doing England watch alongs? Probably not, to be honest with you. There will be content. Bestie, you done quite
we
a
did
bit.
We did a few.
The Euros, didn't you?
Watch alongs, didn't we? In the.
Not England, within.
There wasn't watch alongs. We've done a few reviews and a few previews and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to help out on them.
I thought we did a watch.
I think I'm at work, though, was the problem for most of the games.
Might have done for a qualifier or a friendly, but I don't think they're doing for the games.
It seems ages away ago, even.
It was in last summer.
I know.
But yeah, they will be doing content during that one. Apparently, Newcastle United are looking at arranging a couple of friendlies as well during the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yes, makes
just
sense.
Because obviously there's a lot of weeks there without any competitive football.
How do you think we'll deal with that? Being off for so long. Do you think we'll benefit from it? Do you think we'll struggle coming back in? Or what's your worry?
I'm worried about. I'm not worried, but. The league positions are a big concern going into that tournament.
Okay.
So I'd rather be in a comfortable position rather than, let's say if we are currently where we are right now, same position, but...
We're 10th now.
10th, right? Mm-hmm. But still yet to pick up a win. Well, I'm a bit worried.
I don't think we'd be 10th.
How many games?
Everybody else is doing.
How many games is it to go before the World Cup starts?
That's what I'm just
roughly,
literally just looking at.
Actually, go, I'll tell you what. Tell us, 2 months. Go through the fixtures and tell us what we've got.
This is the last international game before the World Cup.
That's right, it is.
It's not halfway through the season, is it? It is obviously in time, but not.
I think we're looking at about, I think the 16, 17 games gone. So it might only be six.
Six, I think. About six or seven.
And it's 8 weeks away after today.
Mark's going to read out the six, I believe, that we've got coming on, or seven, or whatever it is.
There's eight games left apparently before the tournament starts.
And I'm going to give you. Remember, I did this before and I was like, we'll win that one.
Got
we'll
the one. Everybody what won the league?
I know. Steve Bruce
24 points
in the Champions League. Steve Bruce. I was like, we'll win out of them.
So we've got Fulham away, obviously at the weekend.
Saturday, yeah.
Then Brentford at home, Man United away, win. Everton at home,
win.
Spurs away,
win.
Villa at home. Southampton away, then a cup game, so we'll ignore that one. And then Chelsea at home, and then that's the break.
Is that the Palace game that far away, is it, in the cup?
Length of November.
God, miles away, that's for the second game of the third round, that's a long way away.
Now, I'd imagine some of the dates in there as well are very close together, like maybe three in a space of 10 days. Games and things like that.
Well, I think we've only got two midweek games. I think it's definitely a midweek game, isn't it?
I think it is. The Palace game will be in the cup.
Okay.
It's 8 weeks away, and it'll be eight.
Oh, I suppose actually, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Play Everton on the 19th of October. That's only midweek game. All the rest of them are on
it's the thing. You just can't look at the football like with the ball. Oh my God, who's that? McGuire? Bournemouth game proves that, right? You just can't look at the match and go, oh, I pick 3 points up there. Mm. There is games in there, of course, you would like to think we will, but there's also some challenging ones in there and are like, I don't know if. It would be, to be very clear, it would be absolutely awful to go into that break being 15th or 14th or 16th. We won't be. I hope we won't be, of course. But if we were, actually, having said that, if we are on a poor run like that, maybe it will be a good thing. Thank God for that. We'll stop the league and they'll come back later on.
But we're not going to have too many players at the World Cup either, are we?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Bruno, did Switzerland qualify? I could share because he's only Newcastle player in the sticker album this year. Switzerland didn't qualify. I've looked.
Does he look handsome?
I've not got a sticker. Yeah, I've got the hardback. I'm doing a pro this year. in loads of packs, but I've not started. I'm too busy. I'm knackered all the time. I just haven't got the energy.
It's hard work on them packets, mate.
I'm still trying to get us to swap 2021 ones. I got fucking
So the players off the top of the head that are going, you obviously you'll have Pope going, Trippier will be going. Bruno will be
Sweden
going.
Sweden didn't qualify, did this, but Kraft's injured anyway.
And Isak.
So then you're looking at Shea.
Isak, Shea.
Paraguay didn't qualify. No, they didn't. They often do. Yeah. You scoffed there. I was like, oh. I think I'd say, you know, I don't think St Maximin's going to get into France.
No, not close.
Wilson probably not get a call up. You would have thought.
No, I wouldn't expect so.
I think he would have, and if he hadn't
stayed fit,
if he kept fit, yeah. He would have been in the shout.
Definitely.
Maybe just when you think fit, you've got New Zealand didn't qualify.
I mean, to be fair, there's 8 games to go. Like if he does stay fit and keeps up that form, there's maybe a chance.
Have a late run.
He might be. I'm not, certainly not starting necessarily, but he would be an amazing option him after benching. I will say, amazing option for them. And when I'm not just saying that to be biased because he plays for us, like, but he Fraser. Would be.
Scotland. Probably that one, Chris. Well, they qualified for Euros, didn't they?
Group they did.
Did I?
But yeah, there's what? Five there? Six? There's not many, like.
Trippier, Pope, Bruno.
There's not, but it's Shea. Obviously all of our starting players. I mean, it might only be five or six, but it's like half a team, right?
Botman as well, if he gets called up.
He hasn't yet, and he's
still getting packed in. He's still getting called up for the 21s, isn't he?
He's packed in.
Who's this kid? Yeah, in hell, he's actually just done everybody there. Like,
is that Jamal? Oh, what's his surname?
Lewis.
audio listeners as well, we're all currently watching the England game.
Watch this
is why Dick has gone on little random outbursts.
See it. He did more before that. He was really good feet. Like,
yeah, but yeah, I think I want to be in a comfortable position. You really do.
I think that. Again, shows you why Eddie Howe wants to look to get some friendlies in there, because if we're keeping the core of the team together, and albeit it mightn't be, you know, the full starting 11, at least we can keep things ticking over, keep them drilled and all of that kind of thing.
You don't want to lose your competitive edge, do you? Yeah. Overall, a friendly's not going to be, but it's still more competitive than a training kick around, isn't it?
We've only played roughly a quarter of our games by the time we go.
Yeah,
go away. A third, maybe.
Bit of quarter now, it was 10
and so, 30th
game.
So to bring it back down to Newcastle and the upcoming game, Fish and Rod says Botman or Burn against Fulham. Decker, who do you think?
I'm a huge fan of Burn, and I don't think he did a thing wrong against Bournemouth, in my opinion. But
do you think it works in Botman's favour, the fact that he's chosen to leave his national team and focus on his Newcastle United career? Do you think that'll possibly sway it where Eddie Howe will go, right, okay, because of this, you'll start the next game?
No, I don't know. No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing by any stretch for us anyway. It's a real difficult one. Like, I have a feeling that I think he'll stick with Burn. Like,
I
think because of experience going up against a striker they're going to go up against, our mate, I don't know. I think he might stick with Burn, just for that reason.
100%. We talked the other week about him picking defenders based on the type of opposition that we're playing and the way that they play. He's going to be going up, looking at Mitrovic and the way that he's playing and the way that he puts himself about. You know, how he likes an elbow and he likes to leave one in and stuff like that. I think he'll go. If we're looking between Botman and Burn,
well, that was my next question.
Burn, but
could it be both of them?
I'd maybe take Shea out of the firing line, particularly against Meat Row, because
they've both got that thing in them, red mist, both of them, Fabian and Meat Row. So
yeah. And that's it. So fair. Where it could be,
get your money on yellow card between them too. Like
him picking up a booking or a sending off. So he might decide and go.
Fish and Rod said Meat Row's currently, well, he's just scored a hat trick as well for Serbia.
He's on fire at the minute. Like,
he's class, man.
He is shite.
Is he?
Yeah.
Are you actually? Do you
believe he's worse than Chris Wood?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Eh?
No,
he's worse.
That's what I'm gonna see, bestie.
it's like Tony. He was shit for us.
Shit.
His recent comments were good. Like, to be fair,
Tony's.
That, yeah.
Yeah, they were very good. And he's right. What you're saying. He said, I wouldn't have picked Ivan Toney for Newcastle then as well. Like, so he had to go and
He didn't have the right attitude.
It wasn't wonderful at Peterborough to start with. Obviously, towards the end, he really was. And then he got the move to...
Doing really well for him, Solani, when you think he was...
Excellent. Oh, really well. I've got to say it. I'd like to say it. That hat-trick he scored.
Fuck Brentford.
that wasn't
Considering he could have went the way of Niall Ranger if with that attitude and the way that he was.
Well, apparently he wasn't a great... Well, kind of reading between the lines. Seems like he wasn't a wonderful pro. Like, but yeah, I've got a team with Mitrovic where I thought it was right to let him go to full Mondo because he wasn't doing it for me. I thought it was right that Gale got the number 9 shirt in the championship because Gale was more dependable.
Yeah.
It just wasn't right for Mitrovic in Newcastle. And I thought he was, for the most part, pretty poor for it. He's done great at Fulham. He's had a great start of the season as well. Good luck with him. But I'm not...
Players suit styles.
Yeah.
If you play a certain way and you're playing to a player's strength, they'll do well for you. Fulham's, the whole way that they play up is to get Mitrovic goals.
Well, he brought the record in the championship.
That's what they do.
I think anyone that can score that many is decent, like, to be honest. I still look at it like, I know it's obviously, I'm looking at this from a different point of view because we've had him in all the rest of it, but imagine we had signed the Mitrovic that's brought the record scoring 45, 46, however 40, it was.
Yeah,
whatever it was, right? It was
40 plus, wasn't it? Was that all league as well?
It's so impressive.
Was it
Bobby
Zamora's to break or something?
Was it someone else?
Guy Whitnam.
No, Peter.
Portsmouth.
Guy was Portsmouth. Peter was Cardiff. Peter's dead now. He fell down some stairs in the pub.
But anyway, I think he's done very well this season because he's going into a team who, aren't great, but I think there's more about him now in his game. He can score. He's not just about lumping it up and scoring a header. Like, he scored a goal. That goal he scored.
He's still pretty one-dimensional.
Oh, did you not see the goal he scored the other week? Man, it was unbelievable. It was like that.
Oh,
it was just like that. What a goal that is.
Great finish, that.
It's confidence, that, though, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is.
Dan Whitten said that he's grown up a lot since.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. He was only young at us. And the problem, I wouldn't say it's a problem, but we liked and played up to the gimmicky aspect of him, you know, being a hard man.
Yeah, that kind of cartoon character.
Yes, we kind of played up to that a bit, I think, as fans, and maybe him being a young kid also played up with that, and then that didn't help.
Was that story that McLaren had to sit him down like a month before the derby?
Yeah.
When we got beat 3-0 off Sunderland that time. Remember that one time we got beat
3-0? Oh, no, so it was
when Colaccini got sent off.
It was the draw when he was trying to get back on the field after he got the concussion on it.
That was a great moment.
The story goes that McLaren had to sit him down like a good month for Derby and say, look, like, and now we're going to be playing him soon, but just settle down. I don't even know if he played that day in the end.
Defending, yeah, man. Get out at him, man. Get out at him.
Is that
sure? But yeah, I think...
Unsavable.
That's a great goal.
That is a great goal, to be fair, by Germany.
But there's two of them just standing there on the edge of the box.
It isn't.
It looks like it from that angle, doesn't it?
But yeah, I think, do you have anything else to add on Newcastle United?
So the
ticket thing. Apparently, people have been receiving phone calls from the club today.
So the club have oversold 110 tickets.
How does that happen?
I don't understand how that happens either. Surely Fulham give them an allocation in the club, then off the back of that, say, right, we've got, unless they've just misunderstood and said, oh, we've actually got.
It's got to be a computer/admin error, simple as that.
Yeah.
So they'll have a number, say 3,700, and whenever they've been selling a ticket, it ain't come off the allotted amount.
Did it not happen for West Ham as well?
They need new computers than if it did.
No.
I was reading something today, and apparently there was a few people had the tickets cancelled as well.
Not that I've heard or seen. But certainly for this one, there's been 110 tickets oversold for it, which was the last batch that went on sale because it dropped down to 70 to 80 loyalty points.
Now, the other question on that is, imagine if you've arranged a hotel or a train ticket and stuff. Our trains are maybe off.
They're on strike.
Well, this is the thing. There's a couple of things at play this weekend. So I've seen an unprecedented amount of people trying to sell tickets for this weekend, and fair play to them, it's because there's been a rail strike being announced, so therefore a lot of people now can't get there because they were relying on the rail to get there. Other people are still going to do it. They're going to drive down, they're going to fly down the night before, go down the train the night before, but there's people that can't go, so they've been trying to sell. So if you're in that boat, it's a good thing it works out for you that, you know, you could return your ticket or something like that. But
was that option there? There was the option to return your ticket? Or
no, no. So it's basically the last 110 tickets that were sold. So whether or not you can still go or not, if you were bought the last 110, your ticket doesn't exist.
There was a thing, I think Jess put it in our WhatsApp to say that, I forget which account tweeted it now, like it's I can't remember, but they're saying that apparently if you're one of the 110 tickets,
yeah,
you get you had to cancel, you can cancel your hotel, you get your refund for the hotel, for the bus, train, petrol, whatever. So that's
if you can't claim it, if you can't cancel it and get your money back, the club will refund.
I'm in London this weekend for the NFL on Sunday, and we're getting a bus down, the overnight bus on Friday night until Saturday morning.
Mega bus.
No, it's National Express. But I was thinking I'll go to the Fulham match when I'm down there. So I'm thinking if I'd have got a ticket for that, I could have got me travel for now, I could have got me hotel for now, I could have been laughing. But that's fraud.
To be fair though, if the club have offering those sort of refunds, then it's clearly some form of admin error. If they're taking responsibility.
100%.
It's the club's responsibility
for it. They've admitted they've made a mistake. Sold too many tickets, so if it's you're affected,
it seems like, I mean, it's a bad thing. It's 110 people who are going to be like spitting because they thought we're going to the game again, and because, like you say, Mark, because of the strikes, they'll have had to. It's a big. It's going to London from Newcastle on the trains. Yeah, there.
Aye,
you know, it's
took four, me 10 stops. Hours. Took me 10 hours a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, it did actually.
Two and a half, 3 hours.
I agree with what you're saying.
Three and a half hours.
To get the Flying Scotsman down,
it's a
shot.
Last week.
But like it's such a natural thing to do because it's that the main line, you know, the kind of main artery down. And I'd say that.
Yeah,
that was definitely.
It's such a natural thing to do. You think how do we get down to London without? So that's why we are getting the bus we are getting, because the flights. I looked like 2 months ago, the flights were 40-odd quid, they're now 200-odd quid to get from Newcastle to London on the.
Well, the flights are ridiculous because obviously with all the BA. Issues, they've cancelled a load of flights, so you used to be able to get 2 flights a day there and back to Heathrow.
Yeah,
you're now down to 1 flight every other day during the week.
No, so it's like the trains all sold out on the Friday night, so everyone's had the same idea to go down early on a Friday.
How was our game not being called off then? Because it wasn't the Brighton Palace
did,
didn't it?
So Darrell's said that he said thoughts on them not postponing this game because of the train strikes. When they called off Palace versus Brighton for that very reason. Last time I checked, it was further from here to London than London to Brighton. Mark's probably the one that should be answering that one.
Get there via ball there.
But I think, was the Palace-Brighton thing, was there not like every sort of transport was off?
I think it was even because like it's local.
Is it not because it's like they class it as a derby and the only way that you can really get there is by the train?
Mm.
Because the train like literally takes you to the ground, doesn't it?
The replacement would have been the bus, and I think they were keen not to have a load of Palace fans turn up on the, because they kind of behave. To turn up on the bus and kind of kick off and like do a Gus Poyet and shit everywhere and that, like, so.
Yeah, so apparently Dan Whitten says that was put down the likes of rivalry.
Yeah. But it's still, I mean, it's the thing is, so it's the London Marathon Sunday as well, isn't it? And apparently it's time for the Conservative Party conference that's down there this weekend as well. Like, so there's loads of little, obviously the NFL's Tottenham, but so there's loads of little kind of
lots of things happening,
yeah. And that's the whole point of having a strike, isn't it?
Busy weekend, yeah.
It causes as much disruption as possible.
It's disrupt my plans, but I'll do it. Strike solidarity for me, like, yeah.
Sod-Darryl.
It's not solidarity, Sod-Darryl as well.
Sod-Darryl.
No, I'm on board. I mean, I'm on board the fucking bus.
Well, you won't be on board.
I'm on board the night bus with a pack of sports mix and a couple of cans, but
but yeah, that's us done. So we will be back. We will be back next Monday. Hopefully, Newcastle United victory, the second of the season.
You will, lads.
Quickly though,
yeah.
Do you think? Yes, no?
Draw.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm not confident at all. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe a draw. Last weekend, you were expecting to beat Bournemouth 20-0?
I definitely wasn't. I thought we'd win.
Fulham are better than Bournemouth.
I thought we'd win. Yeah. I don't know why I don't feel confident. It isn't really the Bournemouth game. I was thinking about that. I just think Fulham are playing well, like. They're not too bad, you know what I mean?
They're doing all right. They've got Mitrovic is dangerous this season. Yeah. And it'll be a challenge. It'll not be an easy game.
I think it'll be a more open game. I certainly don't think Fulham are just going to sit there and see if we can break them down. You know, I think they're going to come at us as well. Go on, son.
Oh yes. What a finish that is.
Get in there.
Declan Rice and Mason Mount.
Mount. That was a lovely
he was
run.
Getting it from Pelters before the game.
Get in there.
Well.
Was he?
Mount, yeah. A lot of criticism.
What for?
Just because he's not playing well this season and he's in the squad.
Is that people making a mountain out of a molehill?
Hey.
But yeah, we'll call it a night.
Was that Saka here?
It is, yeah.
He's had a great start to the season against. Oh, that's a great goal. That's
a really good goal. I'm the same as you, though. I think we'll not be in for the same type of game as we were against Bournemouth because Fulham will want to play football.
They'll have a go at home as well. We've got a really good record down there of late. We've won 4-0 last couple of times.
So it's, I'll not be that. I don't like
it. It's a one where we've, I think if we turn up, it should be a more enjoyable game from us and being able to play.
I tell you, The team sheet's going to depict how I feel going into it. Because, for example, if Maxi's not going to be on and Wilson wasn't on, say, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, like I'm back to back to a real dross. Like,
do you risk Wilson based on the fact, like I was going to mention this before when we talked about it with him being fit, but we thought last weekend that Bruno was fit and we know he wasn't, but looking at the game and the issue that we had.
What's our other option?
You do not risk him.
Is that Danish Chaba?
At all.
He's sold him. He's gone.
Get him back.
Harris Rukic back. You don't risk him for one game.
What is the option, though? Because let's say forward striker, your next option is probably staying up top. He's not going to be playing.
He'll play what he did.
Miggy, false nine.
He'll play Murphy with that thing he did on the Bournemouth game, which I don't want, but you cannot risk Wilson if he's not 100%, because if he gets injured, that's going to be another... Well, that's 8 games you're losing for them, which is just not.
I think it will be forced into having to start him because we haven't got another striker. But
can Karius play up front?
Who?
Karius.
Do you know what I seen on Twitter the other day as well?
Maybe it's Chuck Anderson up there. He did. He's played there a few times.
It was the anniversary of when we signed the bricklayer. Who was that? That was random.
Yeah. I'd completely forgot about him.
Was he Australian? Did he play in Australia for a while?
Yes.
I think he did. Played for Mortimer. He didn't play a game for Mortimer. He went to somewhere else. Never played a game there either.
He went to Australia to play and ended up laying bricks.
That's right.
What was happening there?
It was literally just his mate.
And that's dodgy backhand as
100%. Even though Steve said
we'll
it wasn't.
Signed a bricky, Jesus.
Mental. We've come a long way, lads. We've come a long way.
Get him up front. It was a good trigger.
It'll be a tough game at the weekend, as you say, because Fulham are playing well. Mitrovic is dangerous at the minute. I wouldn't be surprised if we might even see Lascelles come back into the starting 11.
Get him up front.
Up top. Up front, aye.
Imagine.
I'm not saying up front, but yeah, I thought maybe Lascelles could be here. Shout, but then I don't think he's as good as Burn Shea.
I'm just thinking that for the physicality side of things, of
it's suited to him, isn't it? He's that kind of, and he keeps his head as well.
Well, we'll soon find out. There will be more content coming this week. You will have your match previews returning this week with Scott hosting those. I'm not sure who's joining them, but that'll definitely be going out. We've got a Fantasy Premier League show being recorded on Thursday evening as well, so
we've
that'll
got
be available this, Friday.
This week's first and this season's first. Beyond the Lines been getting recorded.
Beyond the Lines
well.
Is getting recorded as well, so we'll have a Fulham fan on board with that one as well. So that's return to the channel. Plenty of stuff coming your way. Like Mark said earlier, if you do want to like this video, it means a lot to us. We aren't far away from 9,000 subscribers as well. So if you haven't subscribed already, then please do that too. And if you want to give a little bit more, you can become a member. It's $2.99 a month, and you get access to early videos and the Telegram group as well, which is always good crack. Thanks for watching. Oh, actually, Scott's reminder as well. There's a FIFA video as well coming this week.
Actually, what are you doing for that then?
Scott was recording that tonight, wasn't he?
He's gonna.
Yeah. So Scott is basically, I think he's gonna dissect the whole appearance of Newcastle.
Yep.
Looking at the likes of the squad, the player ratings, and obviously how they look on the game as well.
Exactly.
So that's coming your way as well. Loads of shit.
Loads of good
Loads
stuff.
Of shit coming your
Some
way.
Some canny stuff. But
see, Miggy. Miggy looks good in it. He looks a little bit sad. He looks a bit fed up and sad. But
after the Bournemouth game,
it's a decent.
But yeah, thanks everybody. See you later. Ta-ra. Bye.
Like the video.